Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Half Four Fantasy Podcast. I am your host, Peter, joined as always by Tom and Donnie. How are you doing, Tom?
I'm good, Peter. How are you?
Not too bad. How are you, Donnie?
I'm very well, thank you.
Right. You can see Donnie's got... He's broke the podcast curse, but we'll get to that later. It's amazing that people can get so excited over a meaningless friendly, but I digress. Right, we'll go to our own Fantasy Half League. First of all, Donnie, I think you are well clear now. You're on 2452 overall. You stretch the lead this week over Melvino in second, 2395, and joint third, Nick Sellers and McColgan, 92. 2365 respectively. So actually got a 57-point lead. So unless something seriously drastic happens, I don't think you're getting caught. I think you've won this league.
Yeah. Probably in Melvin's team this week.
Is this a so he can't catch you? Blockers in. Yeah. Nice. Right. So we will go first to the Half Hour Fantasy Podcast Cup, seeing as I'm the only one left in it, as my luck continues. The quarterfinals will be this week coming. That was game week 35. The draw is as follows: Sutty Show versus Andy Penman, Josh Mack 05 versus Ashton 88, Fit the Pod John versus O'Burn 89, and Barracuda, the current champion, playing myself. So that's the final eight. Get into next week's games. Tom didn't make it this week. Tom got took out by, who took you out, Tom? Was it Barracuda? Can you remember?
Can't remember now.
It was Barracuda by 2 points, 86-84. And commiserations to our old man Rambo from Bangladesh. He has done well for his first cup. He's notably went quiet after he got knocked out, so I don't know if he's still reeling after it, but I'm sure he'll hopefully back for next season's cup kicking off. Right, we'll go to the league. We'll go to our own scores and rank for the week. As I'm sitting at the lowest of the three, I go first. 77 points this week. That is a rank of one drop, which I was surprised about. Then I see all the scores come in, I realised it's quite a heavy score week this week. So I had Clark in goals for one, Strain 11, Tavernier 11, Fish 7, into midfield, McGrath 8, Captain Clarkson, try to be differential 8, Jota 2, Cantwell 11, Furuhashi 1, Lopez 2, and Vice Captain Van Veen 15. So that gave me 77 points and rank 61. Tom, I'll leave you next up. What is your rank and score?
So my rank is 18th and my score for the game week was 84. I've got Laidlaw in goals for 3. Egg and Riley got me 6. Strain got me 11 and Tav got me 11. McGrath in midfield got me 8. Ginelli 12. Captain Yota got me 4. Cantwell 11. And up front, Furuhashi 1, vice-captain Van Veen 15, and the Duke got me 2.
Okay. Any other captain choice to go from the cup, the looks it, but that's what happens. Don, over to you.
I had 86. I took a minus 4 this week, so I finished on 82. That was George and goal for 1, Ralston 2, Captain Tavernier 22, Pollock 7, Strain 11, McGrath 8, O'Hara 6, Cantwell 11, Jota for 2, tried my luck with Duke and the vice captaincy. That didn't pay off. He got 2 and Van Veen 10. So 82 all out. My global score is 2430, which compared to last season is 100 points more than the whole of the last season. So it's also a much higher league this year. Last time we talked, I was 13th. I've dropped 1 and I'm 14th overall.
Okay. I bet you were higher up a couple weeks ago. We've not done a podcast and you're back there after the podcast on it. Yeah, I think you're right. You said, I think there's a lot more engaged management at the top. When I was going through the teams, just look maybe the top 100, where I'm at, the 200, there seems to be people making moves. So I think we've got a decent top 200, I would say, maybe more of that. They're engaged, they're taking part. And hopefully next year, with the top of the leagues being all amalgamated, so you pick the same team, then we might get more competitive. So we maybe have the mixture. But anyway, probably. Tom, over to you for loss first, or the results first, then over to you, Tom, sorry. Right, so we had six games. Early kick-off Saturday, Rangers 3, Celtic 0. That was sort of say. St Mirren 2, Hearts 2, Aberdeen 0, Hibs 0, St Johnstone 0, Motherwell 2, Kilmarnock 2, Livingston 0, and Dundee United 1, Ross County 3. So over to you, Tom.
Yep, so we'll start off with Saturday lunchtime. Rangers 3, Celtic 0. We had a goal from Cantwell. Suter scored the second with an assist from Tav, and Sakala got the third. It was a different lineup for both teams from what we're used to. For Rangers, there was no Morelos or Colak, and it was Sakala up front. And in the back line, there was no Davies or Barisic either. For Celtic, Kyogo and Maeda were benched in favour of O and Abada. And in Celtic's back line, obviously Carter Vickers, Johnson and Greg Taylor all injured, so Kobayashi, Burnaby and Ralston came in. I think it was glaringly obvious that Celtic were still hungover from winning the league. I expected to see some rotation in this game, but probably not quite as much as what we seen. I'm a little bit concerned for Furuhashi's minutes. I think it has been reported that he does have a shoulder issue, but he did come on to play a reasonable amount of time, so it's obviously not holding him back too much, so it is a concern going forward. O hasn't had a lot of game time, so perhaps now there's not a lot to play for, I think maybe Postecoglou will be looking to get O's minutes up and try and get him up to speed, so a bit of a concern there. Given the injuries, I'd probably be looking to stay clear of Celtic's defence. Can't deny there's possibly some clean sheets there before the end of the season, but I think they're probably going to be a bit shaky from here on in. In terms of Celtic assets, I'd probably stick with Jota. Kyogo, I'm not too sure about. And I'm actually not even too sure about a third Celtic asset. For Rangers, I think obviously Tav and Cantwell are the two to have, and I'm not quite certain on a third. So I'll come to you first, Donnie, and perhaps you can shed some light on that.
With pleasure. So as Pierre touched on, finally the podcast jinx has ended. I think coming up to about a year and a half doing this, I've not had a chance to speak about a Rangers Old Firm League win, so I'll have to watch what I say, or this could be my last record. But joking aside, I don't think the result really changes anything. You know, we've had five other Old Firm games before this. I'd have sooner won one of those than this one. I can't think there's too many upset Celtic fans on this result. So, you know, both teams certainly would have wanted to win. Celtic would have been able to rub it in over the summer if they had won. And for Rangers, it kind of just ends that streak and allows us to move on, having got that under our belt. So I think all credit to Rangers. You know, they had a good few changes in their team, but they certainly came out gunning, and 5 minutes in we've done what we've not been able to do against Celtic, and that was score first. So I was pretty happy with the energy there. Suter made it 2-0, and I think from that point on Rangers were quite comfortable. The third goal was a bit of Rangers-esque defending, just a mix-up, ball watching, and Sakala clean through, rounded the keeper, and I think a lot of the Rangers fans were quite hesitant when he went past Hart, but he did manage to squeeze it in to make it 3. So yeah, a good win, really happy kind of for what it was, but at the end of the day, as Beale said, it's just 3 points, you don't really take anything else out of it. So I think from a fantasy point of view, with Kyogo not playing that much, and that might be reflected in the final three games, I would probably just hold on to him. You would have to think if he gets even 30 minutes over those three games, you know, he could well still score and get chances. So unless you've got a perfect team, for me, I'll just keep him. If I see the team use, he's on the bench, then I'll just sub him. I took in Ralston, not for this game in particular, but I think with the three remaining games, there should be at least one or two clean sheets there. So fingers crossed on that one. And Jota, well, he just didn't really get any chances in this game one. For Rangers, anyone who went Captain Tav like me were rewarded with a clean sheet and assist. So that was quite happy to see that one. And Cantwell as well, he's shown some decent form. I think when we run it the next season, he'll be a player that we should be looking at target as far as that goes. Tommy, you're asking for a third Rangers player. I think Sakala is worth a shout. I think given the team lineup, he's not going to pick Morelos. There's nobody else to choose. So I think if you go with Sakala, you should get the game time. You should get goals, if not assists. I think if you've got the space, squeeze him in. So yeah, what's the last year and a half tell us? Well, for me, it's just that we needed our third choice keeper and no recognised striker to beat this mediocre Celtic team. But happy with the results, happy with the performance, and a bit of green shoots for next season. So there you go, guys.
Plus, dear listener, he's got a photo of Todd Cantwell as his background photo. I know you can't see that. Me and Todd's got to watch this for next year, which is quite sickening.
It's been a long time coming, so you have to give me something.
See, on the third, I don't know about the next Tom, the Rangers' third asset, would you recommend Robbie McCrory for a keeper, somebody who's like, struggling for cash? Are you thinking, nah?
Do you want to just change your keeper for this last run-in? Probably not. I mean, I think he will get the games. Goldson's probably the only other go-to that will play the remainder of the season that I can see. But yeah, it's probably sound enough. But you've probably got a lot bigger holes elsewhere that...
Money shouldn't be an issue at this point, really, should it? Engaged. Right, me first, well, me second, even. So once I saw a team had the butterfly stomach, think this isn't going to well. So I knew Rangers were going to butt for it regardless.
Yeah.
And they came out flying. It was like Rangers of old under the Gerrard, where they used to always seem to score first and we never had to get our ball, feet on the ball. And after the second goal, he said, Donnie, the competition was dead. I didn't see his come back for that. I just have to slowly sit pints at this point and not bother. The Sakala thing is what I thought you brought up was quite funny, because I was in the pub with a lot of Rangers fans, and when Sakala went through in goals, the looks on their faces didn't look like they were confident he was going to score. Yeah. Just kind of a pause a moment in time, and then he did score, and I was like, right, okay, that's that over. Something tactically I want to bring up for, I suppose, we don't have much time when you see the team getting leaked until picking a team, so it's not much you can really do, but you've got 15 minutes to make this move. But in hindsight, it was like Bernabeu was left back, Tavernier's right back, so Tavernier's going to be attacking Bernabeu. Now, normally Maeda plays on the left-hand side, who his press has been giving Tavernier problems. Has made a lot of mistakes and actually caused goals through Maeda's press. Maeda was dropped as well, Jota was over there. So if I had more time to think about it in my head at the time, rather than making quick moves, it was probably easily to go Captain Tav. He's going to have that right-hand side himself. I don't think Bernabeu's up to the task, Tom. I don't know if you think yourself. And yeah. I shook his head. And with Jota over there, I'm not going to press, so basically much time, I didn't have much pressure on him to let him play his game. So it's something to... I don't think the manager will make that mistake again, because I don't know what happened, but if I had more time to have seen the team and realised the information to play, that's probably the stop the captain to have. I didn't, I changed it because I thought this and that had moved about.
It was still a brave move. There was nothing in any of the other Old Firm games that showed that Rangers could keep a clean sheet. So it is a punt. It's confidence.
It just means he's attacking. The starting side, it was like no Taylor, who comes inside, who's been playing well, and no Maeda. That's both Tavernier's been both opponents this year on that wing. Both have moved, and then you're like, well, if I thought about it, Tavernier was obvious captain choice. But then, as you say, there's no clean sheets guaranteed. But hey, yeah. It's just a look forward to if the team line changes a lot again. Though I don't think you'll see Bernabeu play for, I guess, either again, but that's just me. Cantwell, yep. I've always liked Cantwell with both of Norwich. I thought he was a tidy player. I think I texted after the game, Don, I said, I think he's probably the first name on the team sheet next year, Rangers, if he's going to build around him. And he plays a kind of three role, slightly, like not number 10, but number 10, number 8. I think you're going to already have Tavernier if he stays fit, and Cantwell's your two, and then see how the team builds for them. Obviously, Celtic, bit of the first team out, defender out, you already mentioned, they've dropped defenders at the back, injury and some rotation, so I wouldn't be too keen going for him. I had the same idea as you, Donny. I was thinking about Ralston for the remaining fixtures, just because he also plays full-back as well, and as I've said on here before, he doesn't really do anything there, but he kind of does overlap, so you have more chance there across him, and I think actually Celtic's best chance on did come slightly was from Ralston's crosses, just that Abada was like hitting everything with shins and stuff like that, and so it didn't work out. But no complaints, Rangers were well enough, and I don't get really titles in. Sullivan, I think if you look at Campbell for the end of the season, you should get him in. And for Celtic, we do get early team news the first game, so I would hold fire on Kyogo until we find out if he's playing or not. Sit the minute at home, we'll get to that later on. I think if he is playing, I think you can start your VC on it.
Yeah. Next game then, we've got Aberdeen 0, Hibs 0. Not too much to report on this one. Roos saved the penalty, so a nice haul for him. Well done if you've got him in goal. Nisbet was the taker, so not good for him. He did have the most shots on target with three. And also to report is Ellie Ewan hit the woodwork a couple of times, so he's perhaps still in our minds. Fixtures going ahead aren't great. Aberdeen, obviously, on a great clean sheet run. However, they've got Hearts away. St Mirren at home, I think you could probably bank on that one for a clean sheet. And then Celtic away. So not too sure if that run will continue. In terms of Hibs, Rangers at home, Celtic at home, and then Hearts away. So probably as tough as it gets for them. I don't see many clean sheets there. Perhaps with rotation, you could see some goals, though. So Nisbet and Ewan are probably the most likely. I do reckon there's probably better options out there. In terms of Aberdeen's attackers, I did have Duke down as a whole, but apparently there's concern that his injury status, that might be him for the rest of the season. So definitely something to keep your ears close to the ground on that one, because he's perhaps one you'd want to transfer out this week. But other than that, not too much else to say. Peter, anything to add for that one?
No, Hibs first. Hibs probably is the surprise of the post-split, the top half so far. I have a two back-to-back clean sheets and then a goal off a Fish, so I was surprised at that. But like you said, I don't expect much more going forward. I think that's that one done and dusted. Ewan signed a long-term contract now. I think they signed him apparently, so interesting to see how he goes to the end of the season. Duke injured, so I think I don't know how that'll affect Aberdeen's how they play, because his ball's been pretty good this season. Interesting to watch versus Hearts. It's a big game for fifth position, I think. So if Aberdeen even get many points of the clear, then they've got the league in front of them. If Aberdeen are even getting a draw, then you think it's pretty much
five.
A draw, and you think it's pretty much done unless they fall apart. The clean sheet's good. I still think Aberdeen will beat Hearts this weekend. I still think Aberdeen's a team to go for. I think Robson's going to play very well. Hearts didn't look exactly great against them. We'll get to that next. But I wouldn't be rushing to bring any players in. If you've got me a team, happy to hold. I'm more inclined now to look at players that are maybe starting to fight for down the bottom. If you want a little differential, we'll get to that later with questions. But otherwise, I think most people have talked about it. If you had my Oscar over Duke, then done well, because also Duke's injured. I think he's out for the season. So that is it. And not much to add. I think both teams look decent defensively. Maybe a bit quiet going up front, but it's one of those games.
Yep. Tony?
Yeah, I thought it was quite a lackluster game for these two teams. Certainly from the highlights, it looks like Hibs created the more chances. My transfer out was Nisbet, so I dodged a bullet there. But the transfer in was Duke, so I've kind of not any better off. I didn't realise Duke was injured, but what I've wrote is he does look like he's burnt out after a long season, and I would be tempted to cash in on him. So if he is injured, then that backs up that one. So yeah, good points from Bruce. I did see somebody in there. What does it really get? 14 points for this game? Is he top 10?
Yep, 14 points.
Yeah, so if you've got that and maybe an Aberdeen defender, you've certainly done well. The Aberdeen defence has been really good. But the game's coming up. Well, the finish with Celtic, Hearts could be a difficult one. St Mirren's probably they'll be okay there, but they should be safe enough. You have to think that's a pretty good turnaround since Robson came in. Hibs for me, I just think fixture wise it's absolutely horrific. Rangers, Celtic, and then a derby to finish off the season away from home, I would avoid. But I think Aberdeen have got third place in the bag. Hibs, I'm not sure if they can scrape in, but I don't think they'll get anything out of those three games.
No. Next up, we've got St Mirren 2, Hearts 2. For St Mirren, it was Shaughnessy that scored the first one with an assist from Gogic, and Strain scored the second. For Hearts, Ginelli got the first with an assist from Atkinson, and it was a late penalty for Shankland. Also, worth noting, Peter Herring got a red card, and the penalty was won by Ginelli, so decent haul for him. I think the Hearts attack are looking a bit better under Naismith. Ginelli and Shankland are in with some returns again, having a bit of a blank spell. The defence, not up to much at all. For St Mirren, their defence hasn't been as what it was, but for Strain, he obviously, we've mentioned in the past, he offers returns both ends of the pitch, and in this game he did manage 3 shots on target, so there's the potential there. Try to read my own writing again. So St Mirren, they've got a tough run as well. Celtic, Aberdeen, then Rangers next. So perhaps one to stick on for the bench trick. I don't think I'd look to buy O'Hara or load up on St Mirren now at this stage. I think they're perhaps a team to avoid. For Hearts, they've got Aberdeen at home, Rangers away, Hibs at home. Shankland and Ginelli are the main outlet for attacking returns. Ginelli obviously playing out of position as a striker. Other than that, there's no one that would interest me. Back to you, Donny, for this one.
Yeah, so it's your typical game of two halves. St Mirren quite comfortable in the first half, 2-0 up. Good goal from Strain. Pretty comfortable. And then Hearts came back through, again, their regular names, Ginelli and Shankland. So I actually didn't realise it finished 2-2. I thought it was 2-1. It was only later that I seen the Shankland points. But the nature of the top six is that both teams have got bad fixtures now. They both play Rangers and Celtic as a mixture of the ones left. So certainly, as you said, for St Mirren, the likes of Strain, the likes of O'Hara, you're probably going to have to cash in now. They've served us well over the last dozen game weeks. I had Strain and O'Hara both on the bench, and they both came off for about 16 points, so that was decent. Hearts, again, they're always unreliable at the back. Ginelli and Shankland are probably the only two that you would go to. Ginelli's the type of player that I'm always one move away to get him in, and if I had an ideal midfield five, he would certainly be in there, but I've always got other changes to make that I just miss out on them. Shankland, you know, in terms of strikers and form, you know, you've got to think he'll score a couple between now and the end of the season. If you don't have him, maybe a Duke replacement there. But the result doesn't really do anything for either team. So with Aberdeen and Hibs drawn as well, they stay the same, but with harder fixtures to come. So it's going to be tough.
Yep. Peter, anything to add?
I didn't see any of this game, so just seeing by you've talked about and looking at the players mentioned, I was the same as Donny when I left the pub. I was in the 51st position in the league, and I was like, oh, that'd be nice to rise. Came up, drank the caravan, and checked. Shankland scored, I realised Jelly was the other one, and I was like, oh, here we go, and back down to 61st. So they're probably killing my rank, because I don't know which teams are about me to have both of them. So,
yeah.
Like Donny mentioned, I always seem like I'd like to bring one of them in, and every time I look, there's always somebody else I need to take out first. But like I said, mentioned, I've got a Duke problem this week, so I think the obvious choice might be Shankland. And then especially that last fixture, Hibs at home, I think that's a nice speed differential, as we'll talk about later, vice-captain's option in the last derby game of the season. But as you mentioned, St Mirren, Strain, O'Hara, I've never had O'Hara as a Strain, but I think he's done as well. I look at the 3 fixtures, and I don't really see him getting much. I know he could obviously... He's good for assists and he's good for shots on target. But I might make a side move now and just try something different as the running continues. That's it.
Yep. Next game then we have Dundee United 1, Ross County 3. For Dundee United it was McGrath with a pen. For Ross County, Jordan White hat-trick. Assist came from Baldwin, Kenny and Murray. White could be a punt. I'm sure he got a hat-trick round the boat this time last season as well. And I think he went on to score a few goals after it. Don't quote me on that one. Fixtures are Motherwell away, St Johnstone at home and Kilmarnock away. So there's definitely the opportunity for goals there, particularly in the last two games. Jordan White and Stephen Fletcher both had 3 shots on target. And we have stated in the past, Fletcher and McGrath seem to be the main source of attacking returns at Dundee United. So Wasn't meant to be for him this game. I do like McGrath because he's on the penalties, and he's had a couple in recent times. So nice little boost for anyone that owned him. In terms of Ross County, I think Jordan White could be a decent punt. I don't think I'm interested in any other county players. The 1-2-0 last week against Livingston, but different names again. We had Samuel and Iacoviti with the goals and two assists from Danda. So other than White, the returns do seem to be fairly spread evenly amongst the squad. So it's really kind of difficult to pin down a specific Ross County player to target. Come to you first this time, Peter.
And United, I think, after some great comeback for even as a trot, they've now lost that 2-0 after the split, so they're right back in it again. So, I mean, I have McGrath. I was going to get Beage at one point, and I've kind of come off, cooled off that one. I think they probably might have burst. Interesting to watch these last few games, and Ross County's going for the great escape. I think you might be right, Tom. I'm sure you mentioned this last season, but this time Jordan White had a decent record after post-split when the games counted. It's just... Mm-hmm. Again this year, normally we don't really talk about a lot of striker options, but this year we do have a lot of striker options. So do you think we've missed the boat? Would you just be chasing points now going from after the hat trick, and then there's no guarantee he gets them next week? I'm not too sure. Again, we've got a question on differentials, vice captains, and captains later, so we can bring it in then. But I'm still not really keen on these two teams for any players. Maybe a last week point, that's what I'm looking for when it comes to the nitty gritty of the last game week. I'm hopefully trying to take two transfers at the last week. That's my thinking. So you can go, right, who's going to start to play for? Who really has to go for it? And you can make two aggressive transfers. That's my thoughts.
Donny?
Yeah, so last time we recorded, United were flying with three wins in a row. Now they've got back-to-back defeats, bottom of the table. So I'm not really sure what's going on with them. On the flip side, Ross County not been great this season, and they've had a couple of good results. So it's all to play for down at the bottom. It's certainly exciting head-to-heads. I think for County, I mean, you talked about Jordan White, I wouldn't go there. You might miss out on points, but at the same time, there's enough value everywhere else that, you know, just going to have to take it. If somebody wants to do it, then go for it. You get the returns well played. And McGrath for United, it would definitely be a hold. As bad as they're playing, everything seems to go through him. So again, you've got good returns there. Anything else is a punt, but I think United are in trouble given the results elsewhere. It's not looking good, but certainly it is an exciting bottom six, which we've not seen for a while.
Yeah. Speaking of the bottom six, we've got Kilmarnock 2, Livingston 0. The goals came from Vassell with an assist from Doidge, and our old friend Danny Armstrong got the penalty. We'll get Livingston out of the way. I think they're clearly on the beach just now, so not really interested in any of the players. Vassell, I think he could be a decent differential going forward. He had three shots on target in this game, and he has had some returns recently. Their fixtures are St Johnstone at home, Dundee United away, Ross County at home, so I reckon there's a good potential for goals there. Particularly if Duke's out, then I think he could be a nice swap, and we'd free up some funds for people as well. Other than that, Danny Armstrong perhaps is an option in terms of the attackers. He's on penalties, so he's a kind of sort of similar kind of asset like McGrath and O'Hara, but obviously we won't be going for O'Hara now given their fixture run. Another punt could be Mayo. There's the possibility of clean sheets there. St Johnston don't seem to be scoring a lot of goals. Dundee United have hit a rough run of form again, and then the last game of the season they're at home to Ross County, so could be all right there.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
But again, a little bit punty. Donnie, what's your thoughts for this one?
So Kilmarnock, 2 wins out of 3 now, really giving themselves a chance of survival, and 2 of the last 3 games are at home. So they must see that they've got a good chance of staying up. Livy, exactly what you've said. I think they've checked out. If you're holding on to the likes of Kelly at the back in hope of a clean sheet, whilst you might get one, I would probably just cash in, look elsewhere. Touched on exactly what I said for Kilmarnock. Armstrong and Vassell is probably the 2 standouts. But, you know, back of my mind is this is a team that don't score a lot of goals. If you're rolling the dice, somebody like Ash Taylor who'd maybe pop up and score a goal, get a clean sheet, that could be what you want to go for. But Good win for Kilmarnock. As I say, they'll think they've got a chance now of staying up. And for Livingston, just stay away in general.
Hey, Tom?
Yep.
Oh, quite. Yeah. waiting for the nod. Livingston first. I think we all called it after the split. They checked out. They didn't get top six. There's no danger of going down. And I think that was it. They've not really fight for the players just going through the motions. A lot of players out of contract now, so I don't know if it's going to be a case of this will be the end of the season. They'll just chug along, get to the season, and they'll change their turnover of staff as they do every year. Kilmarnock, I fancy to stay up now with the fixtures remaining and a couple of wins. Vassell is the one, you brought it up before I got a chance, is the one I was thinking of moving through from Duke, just to be something different. Because you look at all the teams run about my ranking, they've all seen the same players, so it's either Shankland or somebody different. And I could easily go for a 1 week punt and go back to Shankland. I don't know, I'll just wait and see. He's on my mind there, somewhere different, just to get into Kilmarnock, special moment. The only thing is, Donnie mentioned, they don't score a lot of goals. And it's just, it would be a punt. But again, we'll cover that when we get to the question. Apart from that, there's no other players you've already mentioned. Ash Taylor at the back, because he pops up for set pieces sometimes. Armstrong midfield can hot and cold. Depends, you got one a decent run, he can return quite well. But anything that these kind of teams now at this level of the season, it is basically punt material now.
Yeah. I'm not sure Ash Taylor's getting the starts anymore.
Is he not? I'm not even checked.
No. Our last fixture then, we have St Johnstone 0, Motherwell 2. Van V. And the second goal, Mandron with an assist for Spittle. Obviously, turns there from the usual six in Van Veen and Spittle. We've kind of harped on about it for long enough. Max Johnston wasn't in the squad, which was a shame because he was my transfer in this week. Nothing mentioned in the press release there. So I imagine we'll have got him. So keep an eye out on this week's press release and see if there's any information there. You could switch over to another Motherwell defender. The Motherwell's final fixtures are Ross County, Livingston and Dundee United. A nice little fixture run there. I if you've not, you're not tripled up, then perhaps move towards the triple up, because the momentum seems to be with them at the minute. And then St Johnston, a complete avoid. Peter, what do you reckon?
Yeah, Cooper and Voice and Johnson. Kevin Van Deen's having summer season, so he is. He's, I can tell you right now, if it leaves a leak, I think we've got our cup name for the start of the season next year. Because he said some season. I thought it was going to be Duke at some point, but Van Deen's been tremendous. I've got a sneaky suspicion he might be in the league next year wearing a different colour of top, but more on that in predictions. Donnie Sheen. I didn't even see Rangers, Donnie. You're shaking your head. You're shaking your head. I did mean Rangers, actually. you like Dutch players, what he's like. Having Spittle and Johnson, there is no word on Johnson. I'm surprised he didn't play. He got me like 1 point off the bench, but hopefully he's back in, because he has been pretty good at the back. We've all talked about him. He's like a marauding fullback. He's done pretty well. Spittle's been in the conversation every week, like with Ahara, Clarkson, Armstrong talks, sees these midfielders. Hopefully these guys can all stick about next year, because as well with this league, if you look decent, play for one of kind of smaller to middle table teams, you normally get snapped up and go. Hopefully these guys can keep hold of these teams, especially teams that finish in Europe. If Aberdeen finish in Europe, hopefully they can keep hold of all these players for another year. And it gives us something to kind of build on next year. But then that's obviously at the same time the good thing about this fantasy game, that there's so many new players every year that you don't really get the chance to bring in 5 or 6 10-point players that change every year, apart from maybe Celtic Rangers players. And Tommy Sage and Johnson. It's an avoid. Too late in the season. Not much of them. They're now pretty safe, so I don't know why they'd want to go there.
Yeah. Just to round off then. Donny, you
go for this fixture. No, that's okay. If I was to cast my mind over the whole season, I probably haven't picked a St Johnston player at all this season. It's just a team that doesn't really offer anything.
Reserve goalkeeper. That's about it.
Yeah. The red flag. And that continues. I just don't see any value out of that team. Motherwell's great form continues. The only problem now is everyone's got Van Veen and probably everyone's got Spittle, so we're not really benefiting from it other than getting the points week in, week out. I've got Johnson as well. I took him in, I think, the week before, but he was nowhere to be seen. I'll just hold on to him. If he doesn't play, then so be it. I've got changes elsewhere to make. But yeah, but the season that Motherwell are having are really good. Unless Van Veen gets a really bad injury, I don't think Rangers will sign him. We only sign folk that have got bad injuries. So I don't think he'll be there. At his age, you don't benefit anything out of him. He's a journeyman. We've already got Cholak, who can score goals and is in contract. So I don't see that one happening. But it'd be a good signing. Like San Aberdeen, I think he'd probably do well there if they lose one of their strikers. He could perform well, but certainly having a good season, and fair play to Motherwell.
Yep. Our top 10 then, no prizes for guessing who's first. It was Jordan White with 22 points with his hat-trick. Roos, 14 points, as we mentioned earlier, with his clean sheet and penalty save. Suter for Rangers with 12, Ginelli with 12, Tav with 11, Cantwell with 11, Strain with 11, Vassell at Kilmarnock, we mentioned 11, Sakala 10, and striker of the season there, Van Veen, with 10 as well. Breaking it down, one goalkeeper appearance, which has been very, very rare this season, which is obviously Roos, three defenders, two mids, and four forwards. Anything standing out there to you guys?
No, pretty much we expected with the results. That's the players you expect to return. A couple of surprises that nobody would have, like Jordan White. I don't think that affect MD's rank.
Yeah.
But pretty much everybody else's would be expected with the results came through.
Yep.
Right, Donny, you've got a dive talking through the remaining fixtures, so I'll over to you.
Yeah, so we've touched on a lot of those already. Obviously, there's very limited games left, and might be repeating myself here. So I'm just going to go through the top six, bottom six, and what's left, what to look out for, things like that. So we'll start at the top, Celtic. I think team news is important when you see the Celtic lineup. We obviously got Kyogo out this game week. If you see that again, as I say, I'd probably be tempted to leave him on the bench, but on the other hand, would be a good differential if you fancy it. I've got Celtic as team news every game week. I don't know if that's right or not. I think the game week 36 is a midweek game, so if they all kick off at the same time, then yeah, you'll definitely see that. And the game week 37, it's the top six all kicking off at the same time. So that's what I've got down anyway. Rangers, same idea. There's going to be rotation, but there's certain players that you can bank on. Tav, Goldson, Cantwell, Raskin, and I think Sakala. So as Tav, Cantwell, or stick-ons, I think Sakala's a good differential as far as that's concerned. If we move on to Aberdeen, they should be safe for that European spot, but they do have two away fixtures, one of which is at Celtic in the last game of the season. And as we've touched on, Duke is injured. Clarkson, Peter, you've got him in your team. He does tend to do quite well. The defence has done well. And you've got Miowski as a goal-scoring alternative if Duke is out. So that's one to look at there. Hearts, as I touched on in the game review, they've got terrible fixtures. There's only Shanklin, Ginelli that look decent value out of that team. Hibs, they've got even worse fixtures, and I would avoid them altogether. And as I mentioned for St Mirren, terrible fixtures, move off of Strain and O'Hara and go somewhere else. So I think we've probably touched on those when we were discussing the games. But anything else in the top six that you see, Peter, that you're looking to get on board?
Pretty mixed bag. The only thing you're right, by the way, Celtic do get free team news in a few weeks, as checked. I think he might put a full truth team out for this home game against St Mirren as like a first game at home since winning the league. I think I could be completely wrong, but I think if MD's fit, they've got 2 weeks after that to rest for the cup. So if MD's niggling, he could play them. I could be completely wrong, but I've got. You'll see the team news anyway, but I think he will play a full-strength team, which leads me more to say that probably avoids it even more than Mirren mentioned, but
yeah,
we'll see. We can look at team news, so you have the benefit of hindsight. I would just have a plan in place, have transfers ready, who you've got a team who might be rested, and then you'll be able to make your moves depending on what team news drops.
Yeah. Tom, anything in the top six you've got your eye on?
No, nothing tied to that.
No. Okay, so we'll go on to the bottom six. Again, going to repeat some names here that we've already heard, but Motherwell, been cruising it of late, don't really have any tricky fixtures. Van Veen, Spittle and Johnson, should he be playing? Livingston, hard avoid. Don't think there's any value left in this team. They might get one clean sheet out of those three games, but for me, nothing. St Johnston, avoid. Kilmarnock, as I mentioned, two home games out of the three will be key for them. Armstrong and Vassell would be my go-tos there. Ross County, so hard to predict. They go hot and cold, but as we mentioned, White, if you do fancy it, then you know it's all or nothing, is the way I see it. And for Dundee United down at the bottom, two tough away games, but if you've got McGrath in your team, I would just keep him there. Penalties are always good value in the league, but nothing else. So the bottom six is a bit more open. There's still four teams that can go down. So there'll certainly be competitive games. Anything there, Tom, that you're eyeing up?
Well, I probably need to make a defensive move because I've got Strain, Egan Riley and Devlin making up three defender spots. So I mentioned Mayo earlier. That could be an option. Most defenders do have a low ceiling, and I think, as you mentioned, the things are going to be quite competitive. So realistically, how many clean sheets is there going to be? Yeah. So other than that, nothing really to add to the names you've already mentioned.
Yeah. Peter, anything in the bottom six?
Just think you can trust Motherwell. I think they're playing well. Kerrigan's not going to let them lay up. He's going to keep them going into the season. They're also going to try to finish well. Kilmarnock stands out because of two home games out of three. And like I said, I am going to try my best to have two transfers get into the last game of the season so that at least then you can, as I said before, attack the fixtures or teams if it's something to play for. That's my advice I'd give out on the bottom six.
Yeah. Okay, that's it. Say a lot of that's just repeating what we've maybe touched on already. There's not many games left. Realistically, you've got three transfers between now and the end of the season. Presumably everyone else has used all their chips and whatnot, so good luck.
Right, I'll go over the questions into the Twitter sphere. So we've got two from Andy Payman. So first of all, which defences are worth it for the run? Motherwell, Rangers and Kilmarnock have kept two or three clean sheets. I've kept two of three clean sheets, I mean, in the last three. Or should we double up at the back of Rangers now that OF is passed or firm? Or Bet and Kelly seeing a great escape at the bottom instead? I'll come to you first, Donny.
It's a tough position to go looking for points. As we've seen with VAR, we've had a lot more penalties now. Celtic, obviously winning the league, still have leaked goals week in, week out, same with Rangers. So it is hard to go looking for it. So what you're then going to want to do is like Ross County, maybe a Iacobiti. He might get a clean sheet, but he's most likely to score as well. We touched on Taylor, but if he's not playing, maybe not so much. So that's maybe what he should be doing. Obviously, the second part of his question is about looking elsewhere. We'll answer that separately, but it's a tough one. I can't really offer any value in my crystal ball, but Rangers and Celtic traditionally offer the best value. I don't see reason to stay away from that.
Tom, same question yourself?
Yeah, just as Donny said, there is quite a low ceiling. I probably wouldn't be dedicating lots of transfers trying to sort of reshape your back line. I think as long as you've got a decent three, obviously your minimum is you have to have at least three defenders. So as long as you've got a decent three and then play the bench trick with the other two positions, I think that's probably the way forward. So obviously, Tav's going to make up one of those positions. Aberdeen have had a decent run. You could maybe bet on that a little bit, but the fixtures are against you. Kilmarnock and Motherwell probably the two standouts for me, for those wanting to try and gain some ground and maybe start to get a little bit bunty at this stage.
Yep, I agree with both of you. So I think it's quite hard to pick a defensive transfer in this game, especially when the results never really... I mean, sometimes you do it on a form with Motherwell, for example, Aberdeen, but the fixtures have turned for Aberdeen. Rangers and Celtic are probably the most you can kind of stand by, even then there's no guarantees. So I don't really make a transfer defensively think it's going to pay off. It's more trying to pay the fixtures. So like Kamara got two home games, or like Dory mentioned earlier on, an attacking defender like Lacaviti, who normally gets a return, somebody like that, who's more chance to get a return at both ends. They could be quite lucky. But I think it's a hard one to kind of hang your hat on. Follow-up question, Andy Penman again. Is thinking about making the defender transfer at this stage of the season just really boring? Shouldn't we all be gunning for making big possible gains with attackers instead? I think he's answered his own question. What about you first, Tom?
Yeah, I would probably agree with that. I mean, once you kind of get your back three settled, it's difficult to kind of get everyone in. I was kind of looking at my own team. You're going to have to maybe make a choice with your fourth defender if you've got your fifth defender slot as a non-playing player, so perhaps that's going to make the difference, either Armstrong or Spittle. I think there's probably a clear template just now. The names that we're discussing are the same names every week, and I think maybe with more sort of rotation at Celtic and Rangers, perhaps your biggest sort of differential and the biggest way you're going to make ground on your opponents is by trying to get clever with your captaincy and vice-captaincy and try and make ground that way. I think that's probably going to be the way forward. But I think he's right. Defence, limited ceiling. Even the guys that do tend to get attacking returns haven't been too prolific recently. The ones that do or have been recently, the fixtures aren't great. So I would focus more on attackers. Yeah.
Donny, agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Just run with three defenders and fill your midfield and forward line. That's where you're going to get your points. I've had... Strain was on the bench this game week and then he came off. You know, didn't think he would get a return. And he does. I think it was the same in the Celtic game. You put him on the bench and he got a return. So just line up with three defenders. Presumably the other defender or two that you've got are going to get two, if not more, points. So just go there. Midfield, there's plenty of choice. We've already mentioned the names there. So that's where you're going to get your returns, because regardless if they lose a goal, you'll still get returns from midfield and up front ahead of defence. So, yeah, plenty of points to be made.
Can't argue any of that. So move on to John Cameron, Cammy 37. What would your bold differential and outlier captain, vice captain picks be to make up a decent size gap, 50 points in the league? So I'm assuming it means that it's like the end of the season, then can you make 50 points up? So I'm going to go quickly first. I think it's really hard because, as Tom said, there's a clear template now. So Everybody's got Van Veen, everybody's got Tavernier, most people have got Kyogo, probably Jota. Most should have Campbell by this point. If they don't, then you're not going to catch up because Campbell's pretty much nailed. I think it's hard. And you're going to have to be... I tried to be clever this week and Captain Clarkson, the probably right move would be stay with Tavernier, stay with the pack, or bring in Spittle and Captain Spittle and something like that. So I don't think there's any clear, because you're going to have to go against what people are going to go for. It's where you see the team news, for example, Celtic at home at St Mirren and there's O starting up front in the home game, then that could be your chance to go for it. But to me, I don't see there's any standouts right now. It's just going to be a total punt in the dark and you have as much chance of dropping rank as you have gaining rank. Maybe that's something you want to hear, Cammy, but that's just how I feel it sits at this point in the season. What about yourself, Donny?
Yeah, was Cammy not the listener that was top of that league a few weeks ago? Was he not asking how to protect his league?
I think he might have been.
He's blown it. Need to listen to the deep dive and the differential. 50 points is a big ask. Just ask Melvin. That's 17 extra points a week, where teams are much and much the same. So it is difficult. As I say, if you rule out Fiogo, Van Veen, you know, Ginelli or Shankland at home, Aberdeen, Sakala away to Hibs, as you mentioned, to St Mirren, you need to be lucky. And then you're asking for 3 weeks in a row to be lucky. It's going to be tough. Whereas everyone ahead of you can just go with the standards and probably stay the same. But no, good luck with the chase. But it is going to be a big mountain for you to climb.
But you're always asking the players that you've not backed to stay quiet, yeah. Which is going to be, that's two you're looking for, which I think was quite hard. Tom, thoughts?
It's a bold ask. At the end of the day, this season is quite different, where every team in every league is an individual team. So if this is a league that you've maybe got a cash interest in or whatever, it doesn't really, it's not going to affect your rank in the big league whether you go crazy in this one or not. So you could just get Vassell and captain him at home against St Johnston. And if you lose by 50 points or 100 points, it's not going to make too much of a difference, but at least you gave it a go.
Mm-hmm. So Kyle and Vassell, two that I think stood out when we're talking a bit there. They're the two. Or if you're feeling really punty, one of the Celtic defenders, maybe Ralston, I don't like a lot of people's team, but maybe gets a couple of assists and a clean sheet, hopefully. But I think it's really hard. I can't really offer much anymore. Because the names you want to mention, the names that everybody's going to have, or you go, why don't you captain Spittle this week? But all you're going to do is get double points. Somebody else is gone. Why don't you captain Van Veen? But you're getting double points, or somebody's vice captained them, then you're not really, because he's not really the assister, he's more just the goal scorer. So I think at this point of the season, it's really, really hard to do. You're just going to have to take massive punts and hope they pay off. Right, last question is from Melvino himself. Do you think Sakala starts all remaining against Rangers? And his second big question was, will Peter and Tom be doing a deep dive with Northam Clash this weekend? We've done quite a deep dive, Melvin. There you go. Dory, a deep dive for us. And yeah. Sakala question, don't think you really answered it, but do you want to reiterate it again?
Yes, I think it's 100% a given. I think with the settled game, Beale showed that Morelos is now a spent force. He didn't even bring him on as a sub. I don't think we've got any alternatives. So for me, he's guaranteed to play those games. The bad news for Melvin is that that's my transfer in this week. So I've got him covered.
I was just about to say, I think that's what he was going to tell you. That's his transfer.
I've got him covered. But yeah, I think I backed off at Rangers and Celtic a few weeks ago just to give me that space. If teams do rotate and, you know, where we are now, it seems a perfect time to bring them in and just give them those runs. So I think there's definitely value in Sakala till the end of the season.
Okay, I know you asked me, Tom, because Donny knows more Rangers than we do, so that's a question.
No, I don't know.
Right, so we'll go to fixtures coming up. So this is when we actually have two fixtures in the space of a week, I believe, because it's a midweek game after this. So this week we have 5 games at 3 PM kickoff, and the only game you want to see team news for is Hibs Rangers on Sunday. So it is Hearts vs Aberdeen, Celtic St Mirren, Motherwell Ross County, Livingston Dundee United, Kilmarnock St Johnson, and Hibs Rangers. So Dory, you kind of mentioned it, but captain transfers, vice captains this week.
Yeah, so it's an easy transfer this week. I've got Duke, who we're saying is injured. So he's coming out, Sakala's going in. These cells seem to be permanent on my computer, but it's Captain Tav, Vice-Captain Kyogo. Obviously, that can change when we see the Celtic team news, but I don't really see any reason to come off of that. You could go Captain Sakala. I think there's value there, but that's what I'll stick with for Tishnau.
Tom?
Yeah, if Duke's injured, I'll probably go Vassell. In terms of captaincy and vice-captaincy, I would probably look to I'd probably look to take more advice, maybe Captain Vassell, and leave the vice-captaincy on Van Veen. Try and get into the higher echelons of the big league.
When Roy's feeling punty. I'm currently Captain Tav, Vice-Captain Kyogo. Depending on team news, I don't see that changing. Sakala is the one I thought of, Russell or Shanklin. I'm still thinking about it. I need to ask Barkud who he's bringing first so I can try to get it right. But yeah, I think I've only got two injuries and two Celtic either as well, so I've got space like I said, Tony, so I could easily... I wait to see Celtic's early team news first, because if it is a full strength team, I can maybe just go for a third Celtic asset and hopefully go for it, but we'll wait and see. Right, I think that's pretty much covered then, so get your plugs in before we go, Donny.
I am at FFS underscore Donny.
Tom?
And at FFS underscore Scout.
I'm at Fantasy Half. So once again, guys, thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Serves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.